The young man was holding a small cardboard box, and the brethren knew from experience that it was filled with the papers that had brought him to Trumbull. "I need some help," he said again. "I got here last week, and my roommate said you guys could help with my appeals."
"Don't you have a lawyer?" Beach asked.
"I did. He wasn't very good."
"Why are you here?" asked Spicer.
"I don't know. They said we were part of a conspiracy."
"A conspiracy to do what?"
"Import cocaine."
Another druggie. They were suddenly anxious to get back to their letter writing.
"How long is your sentence?" asked Yarber.
48 years.
48 years? How old are you?
23.
The letter writing was momentarily forgotten. They looked at his sad young face and tried to picture it 50 years later, released at the age of 71. It was impossible to imagine. Each of the brethren would leave Trumbull a younger man than this kid.
"Pull up a chair," Yarber said, and the kid grabbed the nearest one and placed it in front of their table. Even Spicer felt a little sympathy for him. "What's your name?" Yarber asked.
"I go by Buster."
"Okay, Buster. What'd you do to get yourself 48 years?
The story came in torrents. Balancing his box on his knees and staring at the floor, he began by saying he'd never been in trouble with the law, nor had his father. They owned a small boat dock together in Pensacola. They fished and sailed and loved the sea, and running the dock was the perfect life for them. They sold a used fishing boat, a 50-footer, to a man from Fort Lauderdale, an American who paid them in cash, $95,000. A few months later, the man was back for another boat, a 38-footer for which he paid $80,000. Cash for boats was not unusual in Florida. A third and fourth boat followed. Buster and his dad knew where to find good used fishing boats, which they overhauled and renovated. After the fifth boat, the narcs came calling. They asked questions, made vague threats, wanted to see the books and records. Buster's dad hired a lawyer who advised them not to cooperate. Nothing happened for months. Buster and his father were arrested at 3 a.m. on a Sunday morning by a pack of goons wearing vests and enough guns to hold Pensacola hostage. The indictment was an inch thick, 160 pages, 81 counts of conspiracy to smuggle cocaine. Buster and his dad were barely mentioned in the 160 pages, but they were nonetheless named as defendants and lumped together with the man they'd sold the boats to, along with 25 other people they had never heard of. 11 were Colombians, 3 were lawyers, everybody else was from South Florida. The U.S. attorney offered them a deal: 2 years each in return for guilty pleas and cooperation against the other co-defendants. Pleading guilty to what? They'd done nothing wrong. They knew exactly one of their other 26 co-conspirators. They'd never seen cocaine. Buster's father remortgaged their home to raise $20,000 for a lawyer, and they made a bad selection. At trial, they were alarmed to find themselves sitting at the same table with the Colombians and the real drug traffickers. They were on one side of the courtroom, all the co-conspirators sitting together as if they had once been a well-oiled drug machine. On the other side, near the jury, were the government lawyers, groups of pompous little bastards in dark suits, taking notes, glaring at them as if they were child molesters. The jury glared at them, too.